Chapter 23.
Sometimes simple plans are the best ones, or no plan at all, which is how Han often likes to fight.
If your plan never survives meeting the enemy, kid, why plan at all?
He asked me once.
Wasting time on something that's going to die in the first few seconds, I mean the plan, is a waste of time.
When I told him that was circular logic, he said to stop wasting his time.
Just blast everything and fly a fast ship. And bring a Wookiee. Works for me.
I didn't have a Wookiee, or a fast ship anymore, but I could blast everything. I began shooting at the Weequay to make them take cover and halt their advance to the flank. Once they hunkered down and fired back, the Kari would place bullet holes on their temples like periods at the end of a sentence. Drusel joined me and proved to be quite accurate. She took fewer shots, but they were well aimed. Her very first one, striking one of the Weequay on the shoulder and knocking him down. His partner dived into the ferns also, but both of them popped up behind trees and returned fire. Wild shots at first that didn't threaten us. I discovered that the trees weren't very good cover when I blasted one, and it splintered apart. Soft, spongy wood spraying out behind, yet toppling it forward. The canopy obstructing our view for a few seconds. The bounty hunter took advantage of that to move elsewhere, and the crack of Nakari's rifle sounded twice. I didn't see him fall, but he didn't get up to shoot at us again either. The tree trunk behind which Drusel knelt exploded in a blast from the other bounty hunter and fell backward. Drusel rolled away toward me, out of the shadow of its path, and poured four quick shots back at the Weequay. Those might have been shots fired in anger. I still couldn't tell from her expression. Combined with my own firing, one of us hit him, and he tumbled back into the ferns. Down, but not out.
"He will move and fire from a different position,"
Drusel mumbled, as much to herself as me, and then added a bit more clearly,
"Probably to our left, 10 to 15 meters."
She turned out to be half right. The Weequay did emerge from the ground cover to our left, but he didn't fire. He rose and sprinted uphill. A move that would eventually place him on our flank and put us between him and Nakari. Except Nakari wasn't having any of that. He hadn't moved 20 meters before the staccato clack of her slug thrower echoed in the air and punched the bounty hunter off his feet. "Four down," I said, allowing a note of hope to creep into my voice. We had chosen our positions well, and now there were only two left.
"The Aqualish will be problematic," Drusel said.
"What Aqualish? Where?"
"The one far downhill with a grenade launcher."
Problematic indeed. I didn't see him at first, but eventually I spotted movement through the trees. He was thick-limbed, with two frontal tusks and large dark eyes. These weak trees had already proven to be poor protection, and Nakari and R2 had nothing else. Nor did we. The bounty hunter wouldn't lob a grenade our way for fear of taking out Drusel, but he wasn't approaching us. Nakari was at the top of his list. She had been so effective that she had marked herself as the primary threat. "We have to bring him down!" I raised my blaster and steadied it by cupping my left hand under it and locking my elbows. My first shot was perceptibly in his direction, but didn't get too close, since it clipped a tree trunk on its way, and its energy was absorbed.
"At this distance, and with this number of obstructions, accuracy from a handheld blaster is difficult to achieve,"
Drusel noted.
"We should move closer, yet keep an eye out for the last bounty hunter."
I didn't hesitate, rising to my feet and scanning ahead, looking for a clear shot. I kept my blaster in a two-handed grip, ready to fire as soon as the opportunity arrived. But the Aqualish saw his opportunity first. He pointed his weapon up, and a huffing noise heralded the launch of his first grenade. "No!" I said, and took the best shot I could. It scored the side of a trunk near the bounty hunter, but didn't even turn his head. He just fired another grenade as the first one landed, rocked the island with a palpable concussion. It wasn't particularly close to Nakari, nor was the second one, but I think he was merely finding his range. Giving up on trying to blast him since all I hit were trees, I aimed at the trees instead. Ones that might fall on him and cause him to quit firing grenades long enough for me to do more lasting damage. Drusel helped, and several of them began to topple around the bounty hunter. But he managed to fire two more grenades before scrambling out of the way, finally affected by our fusillade. Desperate, I stretched out with the force, trying to locate those grenades and divert their path at least a little bit. But I couldn't find them or feel them. I felt Nakari's presence, though, and the Aqualish running for cover, and also the last bounty hunter, a reptilian Trandoshan, crouching in the ferns close to the lagoon and taking in the scene. And I was able to sense all of this just as the grenades boomed and shook the ground below us, and a cry of pain, cut short, was accompanied by R2's wail. And then there was a sharp, empty space in the force where Nakari had been a moment earlier. It was a blow to the gut, realizing what that sudden absence meant. I hadn't seen it happen with my eyes, but I had felt Nakari's life snuffed out through the force and into that void where she had shone. Anger rushed in. Anger and a cold sense of raw power and invincibility. With clarity I had never felt before, I knew precisely where the Aqualish had moved, and the Trandoshan too. The latter had decided to go after the Aqualish before coming after us, thinking it best to eliminate the guy with the grenade launcher before tackling the people with the blasters. I found myself agreeing with him. Eliminate the Aqualish. I took a step to join in the hunt, but stopped, breathing heavily, unaccountably sweating even though I felt so cold inside, and the power of the force roiled within me. I don't feel so good, I muttered, and when Drusel asked me to clarify, I didn't answer. It was the feeling of invincibility that worried me. I had just learned through the force that we were definitely not invincible creatures, and yet now the force suggested that I somehow was. I shook with emotion and power, and none of it felt the way the force had before, warm and supportive and nurturing. I was frightened, both by the unfamiliarity of the feeling and because I didn't know what to do with all that energy. So I kept still, letting the bounty hunters go after each other, and consciously slowing down my breathing, trying to calm myself and control the impulse to lash out unthinkingly. Had the Aqualish been directly in front of me, I doubt I would have been able to restrain that impulse. But he was still a good distance away, and had changed tactics now, trying to stalk us and use a blaster set to stun. I sensed that he was unaware of being stalked in turn.
Look, you seem unwell. Can I assist you somehow?
I need a minute, Drusel, I managed, realizing that she didn't know yet that Nakari was gone. Merely thinking that refilled the empty space in the force with even more rage. And I saw what kind of a space it was. A black hole that would always be hungry no matter how much I fed it. I might never feel warm again if I didn't get myself under control. Blaster fire erupted downhill, an exchange of murderous heat between the two bounty hunters, and when the Aqualish's presence disappeared from the force, I felt a small sense of justice, if not balance. Another deep breath, and I opened my eyes, feeling a semblance of calm return. Only one of them left now, I said.
Are you certain?
Positive. The Trandoshan. Did you see him?
Earlier, yes. But I was worried about you, and took my eyes off him for approximately 19 seconds.
Well, we don't have to sit here and wait. Probably better that we don't. We've pushed our luck far enough as it is. Let's get back to the beach like you suggested. and steal the ship.
You are thinking Nakari will shoot it?
No, I said, cutting her off and shaking my head. The grenades.
Oh,
Drusel said, a hand rising to her throat. For the first time, I thought I saw emotion on her face.
That is heartbreaking. You saw?
No. I looked down, trying to keep it together. I felt it.
I am so very sorry.
Me too. The Given's head turned to gaze downhill.
But then we must worry about the Trandoshan ourselves.
We did, but at some point the clarity of sense that I'd possessed had faded away along with my anger. I no longer felt the bounty hunter's presence in the Force. All I felt was loss. I'm sure he'll be along eventually if we just stay here, I said.
Wait,
the Given said, staring into the forest. She pointed with a pale finger.
Do you see that thicket of shrubbery between the two trees, 6 degrees left of the Y-axis from our position? Shoot it!
I squinted through the tree trunks until I found the thicket she spoke of. Why? Did you see something move?
No, but based on available cover, spatial geometrics, and his prior movements, the statistical probability he is there is quite high.
I wasn't going to argue. Even if we missed, it would most likely flush him out. Shoot the center of it?
Just to the right of center. I will shoot slightly right of that, nearer the tree. Let us steady our hands, aim carefully, and fire together on my count.
Drusel counted down from 3, and we fired in tandem into the foliage. We were rewarded with a pained cry of surprise, and followed up with a few more shots to make sure. I looked at the Given, incredulous that she could figure his position so precisely. And she shrugged.
What can I say? Math